Every 5,000 years.
Remove the shield.
When the three planets are in eclipse, the black hole, like a door, is open. Evil comes, spreading terror and chaos.
There's nothing that can stop this.
There is only one thing.
Perfect.
The Mundachiwan have in their possession the only weapon to defeat evil. Four elements gathered around a fifth.
Tuesday, what's that?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, because, you know, throwback Thursday, you know, but that's coming soon to a movie spoilers near you. But I am your host, the phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And today we're here to talk about something very special, Z. Something Z grew up with his childhood. I knew this movie would fit him perfectly. I picked it for him. I did you a favor, Z. Here you go. You're welcome.
Thank you.
He's like, how the fuck is this my movie? He's like, I don't resemble a damn person in this movie. Yeah, you do. You resemble Chris Tucker.
Oh, fuck you.
Every time I see Chris Tucker in this film, I think of Z. I'm just like, yep, that's Z. Loud, flamboyant, full of energy. Don't know when to shut the fuck up.
Is this the movie he chose to do over Friday After Next?
No, because Friday After Next came out like... Friday After Next came out like... 2000s and later.
Well, this is like right before Rush Hour with him.
Rush Hour came out in 97, right?
97, 98.
You remember, I want to say the mid-90s to early 2000s? That was Chris Tucker's star power. He was on a rise right there. Because he had a lot of movies, I want to say, between 95 and 97, right?
Big thanks to Friday.
Yeah. Which, by the way, he just walked onto the set from what I heard in the interview of that one, so...
Nobody knew who he was.
They knew who he was, but they were like, we'll film something with... Like, Ice Cube said that they didn't write nothing for him.
I'm not surprised.
He said that we didn't even think we was gonna get Chris Tucker. He just was happened to be on set, and he was kind of giving pointers and coaches or whatever, and he was kind of getting on screen with it, and they would love this so much, they was just like, leave it in the movie.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's a tour de force actor right there.
And now he does one movie, what, every 5 years?
Shit, let's see. What was his last? Yeah, Silver Linings Playbook, and was that 2012? He had something else, too. I forgot what it was. I know before that he was doing a lot of the stuff for the Michael tributes, Michael Jackson tributes, when he passed away. Because I guess him and Michael were good friends. Then he came out with Silver Linings Playbook. Either he had a movie or he did something. I know he hosted the
BET Awards, right?
The BET Awards, right? I want to say 2013, 2014. Yeah, I think it was 2013. And he did something else, too. I don't remember what it was now. Fuck.
Well, looking at his resume, he's... You know, after Fifth Element, he did Jackie Brown, which is a very, very small role.
Yeah. And then he did a... Did he do Dead Presidents afterwards, or...?
He did Dead Presidents before, back in 95.
Okay, I was 95. Okay, I was about to say, was that 97 or 95?
And then he did the three Rush Hours and Silver Lining, then that's it.
I love how we're talking about only Chris Tucker. He ain't even the star of this movie.
Watching this, you can't tell.
I'm about to say, because Chris Tucker took over that last third act, right?
He's in it so long.
He pushed Bruce Willis, like, I don't want to say Bruce Willis is boring, but Bruce Willis, while I was watching this, I was like, damn, he still got them same facial reactions he do now, whatever. I was like, damn, he never really let go of that shit, whatever. And you know, Bruce Willis is kind of just a tame personality, but when Chris Tucker got on the scene, and they get that last scene, that was straight up the Chris Tucker movie.
It was. And
like whatever this world was supposed to be in Luc Besson's head, I think Chris Tucker fulfilled it for him.
And what's funny is that when you have Debo is your president, you know you're gonna have problems.
was like, when they kept talking about that planet there, I just like to send Debo's ass there. Come on now. Send him there. That's what he's sending missiles for. Send Debo. Shit, he's scared. All you gotta do is mean mug that. Hey, you know what? I was gonna say, did you notice he didn't have a crooked eye in this movie?
He didn't. I noticed that too. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because I was looking at that eye, but I was just like, wait a minute. I thought that eye was really his or whatever in real life, where I thought he always had that crooked eye or whatever. So I guess that was just a prop for Friday then?
I'm trying to think what else he was in.
He was in The Wash.
Yeah. Why do you always refer back to that movie?
I don't remember him having the crooked eye in that either.
When he was wrestling, he did.
Oh, that's right. Damn, I don't think that brother has a crooked eye at all. That was a prop, dude.
Damn, I noticed that too. I'm like, wait a second. Like, maybe he is missing an eye. Maybe, like, really, he's missing an eye.
People out there, maybe you can answer this. Can you get crooked eyes fixed? I don't know. Cause you would think Forrest Whitaker would then. I mean, after all these years.
That's his motivation.
Yeah, I gotta say, he's like, that's the star of this right here. I can't get rid of this. Come on
But you know what I
now.
noticed though?
What was that?
You know, Mila Jovovich. Not the great at not a great actor or
No.
actress. She only gets roles based on who she's dating. Have you noticed that?
Because I remember I went to the screener of that shit, and they were trying to convince you that the shit was real. The Fourth Kind or Fourth Happening, some shit like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
I forgot what that shit was. I remember they were talking about, like, this is really real. This really happened to these people. We got the people that this happened to, we got them. And then I remember seeing Mila Jovovich on there. I was just like, the fuck? That ain't no real. That, man, that's an actress, dude. That ain't no. I think, yeah, it was The Fourth Kind. I want to say this was probably the movie though that
Launched.
propelled her into a crappy action star, right?
Yeah, it was because after this, her she was that Messenger Joan of Arc, which was just bad.
Yeah,
And then
and then
Resident Evil movies.
yeah, and then obviously I said The Fourth Kind. She had a Ultraviolet too. She
Which
was a voice on King of the Hill at one point.
I didn't like that show.
Yeah, I liked it because it made fun of rednecks, but I thought that was hilarious.
No, but she's not a good actress. I mean, this is a nice. She said what stupid lines throughout the whole movie, so.
I mean, to be honest, she's a bland actress at that too, though.
Yeah, she was just preparing her role for Resident Evil.
I mean, she really has no personality in none of these films. If anything, I want to say this movie, she probably, out of all her films, I thought this was probably the one that I thought she had the most personality.
Playing pretty much not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, exactly, because she's just speaking another goddamn gibberish language real quick, so that's like anything. I think, because most of the roles she's always playing this hard stare badass or whatever. And here, at least at the beginning of the fucking film, I don't know how it switched from gears or whatever, she's playing kind of like you said, a fish out of water story.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. And well, Resident Evil, she was really bland in that.
Yeah, I mean, well, especially as the series went along, she just kind of like played. I don't want to say played. Well, obviously she played the same character in there, but she has no facial reactions to nothing. All the shit that goes on in Resident Evil, and she like never blinks or nothing like that. It's just like, damn, you would think you would at least like go like, holy fuck, look at this big ass thing or something. I mean, damn, shit.
But it is about Bruce Willis, and he really played. I want to say he tried to do like this as a John McClane movie, like Die Hard.
Yeah, I mean, you almost got the same damn outfit on too.
Yeah, that's what kind of threw me off. I mean, Fifth Element, it's not a terrible movie, but He played it just like McClane. Smart
I was
at.
gonna say, where do you fall in the line of? Because some people, this movie is this is special for Throwback Tuesday because I want to say this is one of the top films we've ever reviewed that is either it's hated by people or loved by the other people. It's a love hate thing for this movie.
I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm not gonna say, I'm not gonna watch it all the time, but I don't have any issues with it.
Yeah, I'm in the middle because I know a lot of people that hate this film. I know a lot of people that love the film. Like I said, they either love it or they fucking hate it, whatever. And me, they've always told me to pick a side because I've always been in the middle with it. And I'm just like, I don't hate the film, but it ain't nothing, I guess, special for me or whatever to watch. I see elements, no pun intended, with the Fifth Element title. But I've seen elements in here that are fine. They look, without the for a technical aspect, it looks cool. I mean, I can see some stuff in there that really looks cool. But as far as a whole complete story, it's nothing special. I mean, Luc Besson directed and write this. I mean, come on now.
What? That's what I'm trying to like when you say, plot stuff. Like, what really is the story?
Pretty much, because you even said it's Bruce Willis' story. It's like, is it really though his story?
Well, you get the whole, at the very beginning, the whole show with Luke Perry. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, they got the whole thing with Bruce Willis in here, but I would almost say like he's more of just the side character just to help this plot move along.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because the really plot is based around Mila Jovovich and stopping these aliens. Like Z just said, I mean the opening. I want to say like a good what is it, 10 minutes Z that before we even see Bruce Willis, they just talking about a lot. Matter of fact, it's probably longer than 10 minutes. Probably 15 minutes
Yeah, about that.
before you even see Bruce Willis. Because first they show you like what was it, 300 years? How the fuck did that priest live for 300 years?
I don't know.
That motherfucker didn't age or nothing. I was like, damn. Most he got was a haircut. 300, was it 300? Yeah, 300 years passed by, and then we get to Debo as president, Tiny Lister as a president, and they were talking a lot of stuff. And I don't have to shit on Bruce Willis neither, because the beginning of it, like you said, I saw some John McClane in there, which there was some personality in there. I want to say like halfway in the middle of the film, though, he just dropped all of it, though.
Yeah, it pretty much after when you got to the ship, that's pretty much where the movie takes a dramatic turn.
Do you think that so I don't know, that when they got to that ship or that planet or whatever it was supposed to be, do you think that if Chris Tucker wouldn't have been in that scene, it wouldn't have been at least somewhat entertaining?
If he wouldn't have been would have been entertaining.
If he wouldn't have been in it.
I found him annoying.
Yeah,
I mean, I
I
tried to picture those scenes taken out. I mean, he really didn't do anything outstanding, but
See, I liked him in that role because I was like, ain't nothing else going on right now.
he was a distraction.
What was that?
He was a distraction.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And I didn't find none of the action at the ending that good. I
No,
didn't
no,
think
no,
it was
no.
worth. I mean, it was just gunfire, really, and seeing aliens blow. I mean, it was nothing really. Only part I liked is when Bruce Willis negotiated with that dude and shot him in the head. Other than that, the other action scenes I thought was just whatever. And there wasn't a lot of talking going on as far as like one-liners or anything like that. The only thing that really was going was Chris Tucker. And I was like, at least something's happening.
Yeah, and this was at
Just
the
the whole Mila
time.
Jovovich scene where she was fighting, I was like, I thought that was the most pointless part of it.
Yeah, they tried to make her like a superhero.
They tried to make her ultraviolet before.
Remember when whoever her director is that she's married to at the time, they make her like the superstar superhero.
I love it because she just became a martial arts expert. Now, granted, she's a sentient being who learned it through the computer and stuff like that. But I love it because in this scene, she's doing all this. I don't know if this is supposed to be comedy or what, but she's like doing all this like slapstick martial arts stunt, and then she does some flip or whatever where she gets shot in the air vent. And did you? First of all, I didn't even see a bullet hole in that girl. All you saw was blood.
Yeah.
I remember even when Bruce Willis was holding her, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with her? Because just a minute ago when she was watching the whole war video, she looked fine.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And then next thing you know, she's passed out. I was like, what the fuck?
And what is this? What would you classify this movie as? A science fiction comedy?
Is there a lot of action in here? I mean, really, the only action here is at the ending, right?
Yeah, and it's very bland. It's for this being set in so far in the future,
Yeah.
you would have thought it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
And with
I guess
a
for 97, it was fine, right?
yeah,
I saw some elements of space where they tried to steal from Star Trek and Star Wars.
oh, did you? Well, since I haven't seen them, I
Yeah.
don't know what they were, but it seemed like,
Like when the ships took off and they showed that light speed shit or whatever.
oh, that's always gonna be in something.
They don't do that shit now. Shit. I don't remember seeing that shit in no Guardians of the Galaxy. Or any other film. Only film you'll probably see that in is Star Trek now. That's the only thing still going.
But we also missing a big key force on Gary Oldman.
I was gonna say, we gotta give a plot synopsis first, too, though.
Fifth Element, directed by Luc Besson.
I hate that guy.
What has he done?
He's done the Taken 2 and Taken 3, which yeah, and then he's done the Transporter movie. He's doing all of them. As a matter of fact, even the new ones that's coming out, he's on all of them. They haven't even came out with this new one. They've already signed off for a fifth and sixth one as well. What else? Oh, he's done that. What was that film called? 3 Days to Kill with
Cosper.
Costner. Yeah. He's also did fuck, what was
Oh, he did that lockout movie.
yeah, he did Lockout. I think he's wrote more than he directed, and his oh he did a Brick Mansion, that's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Oh, with Paul Walker and what's his name?
Yeah, the RZA, because he did the original one, which was called District 13. And obviously he worked on a remake of it as well, so I know he's did
He did Lucy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Lucy, and he did the Transporter TV show,
Oh, I forgot about that.
and he did that Robert De Niro film with that hot ass daughter of his that was in the film, The Family.
Yeah.
This guy's made some shit project. I mean, like either they just shit, or you just look at it and go like, wow, this is the most blandest shit I've ever seen. I mean, what would you say is his best film, to be honest? I would say Fifth Element is probably his most creative one. Shit, because all the other ones after that is they're just same shit, to be honest. What are the same shit?
Maybe the original Taken?
He didn't do the original Taken.
Yeah, he did. No, he didn't.
He did the shit ones. So yeah.
Which is just the same plot of the first ones.
Yeah.
I'm probably going with
He did
you.
the Taken movies with the bad action shots.
He
There you
wrote
go.
Taken.
Yeah, he wrote it.
So directing wise, probably Fifth Element.
Yeah. And even this one's not even that great.
He doesn't have a lot of directing.
He's got enough, though. I mean, he's still going on. He's going strong, whatever. But, man, his writing is fucking horrible, dude. I hate this guy.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with him. Yeah,
Yeah, every time you see his name on some writing credentials, you go like, oh, fuck. Because his writing is so goddamn generic. Like, it's like, oh, wow. Like, and that's not even a stretch saying that Fifth Element is his most creative film, whatever. Because, I mean, the writing here is still fucking. I think the writing is the worst part about it, to be honest. At least here, I guess with the whole sci-fi-ish element over here, that's the different take he takes on this fucking movie. Because other than that, man, this shit is just whatever.
he seems to take a lot of stuff from looking at it. He seems to take a lot of stuff from others.
Yeah, he's the pickup guy to go to for direct-to-DVD sequels.
Yeah. He's mostly known for In Paris, so
Oh, fuck that
I mean,
movie.
that's not like a say a lot of thing, but he's more known overseas than here.
Yeah, because he does a lot of his movies in Paris. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, that 3 Days to Kill was shot in Paris.
And what's funny is he wrote Fifth Element when he was 16 years old.
Damn, he was 16 when he wrote that nigga look old as fuck now.
Well, he started writing it, but he was 38 when the film opened.
Okay, I was about to say. Damn, he took this long to write this shit? Wow. Damn. shit, it takes a lot of effort for him then.
Yeah.
Continue.
Stars Bruce Willis, Gary Oldman, Mila Jovovich. Budget $90 million. Box office $263.9 million. And we are way in the future, and aliens are trying to get the stone.
The stones, yep.
And
well, necessarily, the aliens are gonna. It looked like they were trying to get religious with this shit or whatever, but there's this alien that's evil, or not even alien. It's just this evil being is coming back in every 5,000 years or something like that. And it just so happens that 300 years are coming in where this evil will turn, and they need these four stones to save humanity.
Yeah, and they're pretty much, and the alien race is pretty much being puppet mastered by Gary Oldman's character.
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis is, like always, he's always recruited to stop him.
Yeah, because somehow he just gets caught in the middle of it. Because you know why? He's an everyday man.
And why is that's probably the biggest generic cliche plot in a movie? Always recruiting.
Bruce Willis's career.
Yeah, pretty much Armageddon. Think of it. It's always him recruited for something.
Yeah, I'm new with you though, because like he's always trying to retire or he's trying to do something. And he just and winds up in the middle of it, so like the trouble just falls in his lap or something like that. You know?
Yeah, so this is the time when Bruce Willis was taking every role pretty much.
Yeah, he was a Samuel Jackson at the time.
Yeah, I mean Die Hard 3 was done, so they didn't think they were making another one. And he was.
I love the first Die Hard film too.
Yeah, me too. And he pretty much was taking a lot of roles, so he was. He took over for Schwarzenegger and Stallone, he joined the race of action stars.
Yeah. Well, when did the first Die Hard come out again?
89, I think.
89? Okay, so he's got that 80... Of course, I thought it was like 87 or 88, but it probably was 89. You're right, he did take over in that... Well, he joined that cast, let's just say that.
Yeah.
At least expect. I would say, though, out of his track record of films, though, I thought he was... better than Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
He was. I think he has more charisma.
Yeah, he has more range too.
Yeah, and we've seen him in good stuff.
Especially even not in like the past 2 years recently, but in recent memory of like even in the later 2000s, I thought that he gave some pretty good performances in some of his films, and some of them was a hell of a lot different too than what you know your typical. Schwarzenegger. I thought Bruce Willis out of those two though was an actor. The other two was just fucking.
Yeah, because he has done romantic movies,
mm-hmm. And he's done all kinds of films.
And I don't think Stallone or Schwarzenegger can really pull off a romantic movie.
Hell no, and he wouldn't want to see them in that anyway.
No,
I don't think they can pull off any other movie. I don't even think they can pull off action movies anymore. Have you seen their train wrecks?
Yes.
Shit.
So yeah, I'm kind of with you. As an action guy, yeah, you probably want Schwarzenegger, Stallone, but Bruce Willis can do it all.
Yeah. Bruce Willis was an all-around actor. I mean, his last thing I'm trying to remember I liked him in, probably could have been something after this too, but, I liked Looper a lot.
Looper was great.
Yeah, I really liked Looper a lot. Thought he did a great job in there.
I really liked him in Surrogates.
Did that come out after, or?
2009.
Okay, yeah, that was looking.
You like him in Expendables.
Oh, man, I love it. Was he in Expendables?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, he was. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, damn, those movies blend in so much together. I'm like, just like, wait a minute. What? I'm sorry. Them movies are all the goddamn same. That was embarrassing for him to be in Expendables. I was glad to happy that he got into it with Stallone. And they had some disagreements, whatever, and he dropped out. Because that shit was embarrassing. Seeing him and Schwarzenegger. I think it was Expendables 2, was it?
Because he did do Expendables 3.
Yeah, so it was Expendables 2 he was in, and 1, where his ass was just fucking repeating lines with Schwarzenegger back to back. That shit was embarrassing. I was like, Jesus Christ. I fucking hate Stallone, to be honest. I fucking can't stand that guy.
Yeah, because Stallone's gotta fucking be it.
I was like, who the fuck wrote these lines for these people? Like, that guy, personally is like, it's funny because he kicked off the whole action scene or what it was in the game and stuff like that, and that guy is slowly killing the action genre of today. Because all he's doing is just rehashing the same shit from the 80s.
Yep. That's what Expendables is.
Dog shit. Fuck that guy.
But acting-wise, Bruce Willis is a better actor action star.
Yeah,
I think he's the best. I want to say he's the... Well, I don't want to say the best. Well, he could be.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, Die Hard, to me, out of all the action star films, Die Hard is my... I want to say is my favorite.
So. And what, Die Hard's the most realistically one?
You didn't find Rambo realistic?
No.
You don't think Predator was realistic?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. I ain't got time to bleed. Realistic.
Yes, Predator's gonna happen, don't worry.
It was funny, as you say realistic, it's funny because those Die Hard movies, the longer they went on, they just got unrealistic. But that seems to be the trend, though, with action films. The first one's always the most, that's what people love about it. It's realistic, it's down to earth and stuff like that. And then it makes so much money and loved by so many people that they want sequels. So they start making those sequels, and then those sequels just start doing some impossible ass shit just to up the antics from the first one.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah, remember that killed the franchise, apparently.
Yeah, it did. Thank you, Jai Courtney. But back to Fifth Element, though. I really did like Bruce Willis in this.
Yeah?
I thought he was fine. I liked him that... You know, they kept, you know, going at him about stuff, about recruiting him, and he just like, no, no, no. He was just kind of like, he was a taxi driver.
You know a side character I did like, though? I was trying to think of some characters I was like, well, really stood out other than Chris Tucker or whatever, but as far as a side character I really like, I like the little bits with his mom.
What'd you like about him?
I thought that they were just funny. I don't know. I was looking for something.
You were reaching?
Yeah, I'm just reaching now. Because I don't know. I thought all the characters in here were just... For something that was so science, sci-fi, and near the future, I thought everybody in here was just bland.
Even Oldman? Because Oldman was like... He was milking it.
Yeah, I thought he was bland, too.
Because Oldman wasn't Oldman at this time.
I don't even think he was... I've seen Oldman milk it. I don't think this was milking it for him.
You don't think? Because...
No. Like, his style, yes, but his acting, whatever? No, his acting was, it was whatever.
Because he did this, I think he did this right after Leon.
Well, let's say, what was the most outlandish thing that Oldman did? What was the most outlandish thing he said, or, like, what did he do? I didn't see him doing, like, cartwheels or nothing like that.
No, just his, like, his like, I think it was a tick, was it, like, a tick with his tongue?
Okay, that's not, though, that's not milking himself. Okay.
It's just he seems very cartoonish.
Yeah, but that's not because of his acting. That was because of his style of how he looks and shit.
Yeah, with that thing on his head. I don't know what that thing was.
I mean, then he starts bleeding oil for some reason.
Oh, I was like, what the f- is he? Was he human?
Was that hair grease?
That's what I want. I don't know what he was.
I was going to say, too, because you notice every time he walked, it was always like some clinking noise in his leg or something like that.
Maybe he was robot.
I don't know what the fuck he was. Why would they let a robot run this guy, whatever company he was running or something like that? But, hey, I didn't think he was that. I thought he was just playing another act. I didn't see anything outlandish or milking or anything like that.
No, but he obviously was.
Milking it was Chris Tucker. That was milking it.
No, that's just normal Chris Tucker.
No, no, no. He doesn't wear flower dresses. He wear striped dresses.
Do you think he was high during this?
I tell you what. Can you imagine if somebody else would have played that role? It wouldn't have been the same.
No, because this was a couple years after Friday. You know, Chris Tucker's like this. I don't want to say he's. You know
what? They did remake this role, Chris Tucker's role.
To what?
They called him Lenny Kravitz from Hunger Games.
Point for you.
only difference. difference is that movie's so damn deep and dramatic, they didn't have him talking that much, so he wasn't talking loud, but...
Point for you, because now that I think about it, you are dead on.
I'll tell you, if they had to remake this movie, then that would get him to play Chris Tucker's role. I mean, it probably won't be... I'll tell you, like, there's very few movies when you see an actor play a role, whatever, where you just go like... Had that been someone else, that'd been a completely different movie. Like Will Smith playing Neo in The Matrix or whatever, that'd have been a totally different fucking movie. If somebody else would have replaced Chris Tucker in this film, that'd have been a totally different fucking ending, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of varies because The Matrix might have been worse. Well, maybe.
I think Keanu Reeves was perfect for that role just because he didn't know, he got this look on his face, he don't know what the fuck is going on.
Which is natural.
Yeah, it's just natural. Will Smith would have been probably hamming that shit up, to be honest. At that time, when it came out, yeah.
But if someone else played Chris Tucker's role, I don't know if it would have been good or bad. It depends on who the actor was.
Probably would have just been a bland. Probably would have just been a bland performance, to be honest.
Yeah, and
just
I don't
like the rest of the fucking movie.
What, he was like a TV host?
He's a radio host, yeah.
Was it radio? Because I saw TV ads, too.
Yeah, he was, like, the most popular radio host that they had in the world. Everybody fucking loved him and shit like that. I loved his henchmen. Remember when he was caught in that thing with Bruce Willis and his henchmen was like, they were outside. They were like, where's Ruby? Where's Ruby?
Ruby? It's like their only lines.
Man, other than the aliens, man, them. Ruby and his crew, they were the only ones that I thought, like, at least was adding something. Everybody was just playing. Matter of fact, you could have set this in present time, whatever, and they would have been playing the same performances and shit.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, even Mila Jovovich, when she was, I would even give her credit at the beginning of the film, but then halfway towards the end of the film, she just became even, like, in present day time, too. Whatever. That's why I like Chris Tucker's role, whatever, because he was so outlandish and shit like that. I was just like, yeah, this is the kind of shit I want to see in sci-fi world. Or even the blue chick there at the end of the film where she was singing, the look on her looked cool too. Those were the only, whenever it got down to Bruce Willis and shit, I never really felt like this was sci-fi, to be honest.
No, it seemed, the only time it looked like it was like sci-fi besides like the aliens and stuff was like, you know, they look outside, they got, like, jets and cars and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really looked like, it was a poor man's sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't describe, I mean, I think...
wanted to see more characters like, well, not exactly like Chris Tucker, but, like, that was just as crazy as him, you know, like, that were just out there and weird and shit like he was and stuff, but... I barely saw it. Everybody else was just bland. I'm sorry.
And if this is like, future,
I mean, you got the priest. He's just playing a present day priest or whatever. You got Bruce Willis playing present day man. I mean, it's just like there's really nothing going.
The soldiers, the president,
like, the soldiers and shit like that. Even their armor and stuff like that. Nothing really here. I don't think really anything. I think one of the reasons why I like Chris Tucker that much is because he stood out.
Yeah, he stood out.
Yeah.
Now.
Could be in a bad way, could be in a good way, but he stood out from everything else, that's for sure.
Now with Debo, he's listed as Tom. Was it? I thought his name was Tony.
I don't even remember his name in the...
His name was... I swear his name was Tony Lister, not Tom Lister.
No, it was Tommy.
Is it Tom? I thought it was Tony Lister.
No, it's always been Tommy. What the hell?
But as far as I remember, this was the first black president.
Yeah, I was about to say, he beat Morgan Freeman and Samuel Jackson and all them.
Yeah, I was like, the very first black president in movie history was Debo.
Could have been before that. We never know. Matter of fact, if you know a movie that has a black president before this, let us know. I'm curious to see that movie then.
Yeah, he beat Obama.
Yeah, I was about to say, he literally beat Obama, like with his fist.
Yeah, with his eye.
Yeah, hey, eyes fixed. He got that eye fixed. He ain't like Forrest Whitaker.
No. But, this movie is long.
You know, I was going to say, back on Tommy Lister, who plays President Lindbergh, I did like his voice for as president.
It was stern.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually acted like a president.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you didn't have to show his face. Like, he could have did, like, some voice work type deal with the president. Like, he could have just been on a walk in front. I would have been like, I like that voice, though, fitting for, like, a president. So, like, it was very stern and commanding.
This was, like, the most serious role for him.
And And that's not even saying much. This movie is goofy as fuck, bro.
Yeah, but I liked it, but the movie is very long,
It's
and
like, what,
it,
over 2 hours, right?
yeah, and it really, there's a lot of dead points that really kills the momentum of the movie.
I'm fucking talking to, yeah.
And you got Bruce Willis, who I want to, I don't even know, don't even get me started on the first 15 minutes of the movie, because I don't understand it. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, they were talking some. They were trying to mix religion in with these spins. I was just like, okay, man. I'm gonna let you finish, but I'm gonna tell you where I said fuck this movie. I know where it got to me. I was like, fuck this movie. But I forgot it had happened until I remembered to watch the movie. I was like, wow, that's some bullshit. But go ahead and continue.
Well, I was gonna say, because you spent so much time at him, or so he, like, Bruce Willis quickly changes his demeanor,
Yeah.
like after meeting Lilu, who was
It's
Mila.
kind of like a man whore at the beginning, right?
Everybody wants him.
I mean, he was already kissing on his chick when she was passed out unconscious. I was like, damn, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, like he, it's like it was like love at first sight.
And that's where we get into where I said, fuck this movie. The hell with this fucking movie, especially when, first of all, how many times is him and Mila Jovovich is on screen together? Like a total, maybe 4 or 5 times in this movie.
Yeah.
And mind you, once they get to this other planet, they only meet up one time, and that was when she got shot and he found her, and they get off the ship, whatever. They got a total screen time, I want to say, in this movie. And this is probably me stretching, but I'm gonna give it 30 minutes. It probably could be less than that, to be honest. Back me up here, Z.
You're about right. You're about right. I want to say it's around that time, it's total minutes, 'cause
Yeah.
they obviously separate and he's looking for her and she's doing her
He
thing.
spends more time with Chris Tucker, I want to say, than he does with fucking Mila Jovovich's character.
Yeah, 'cause Tucker's in the movie, what, a good 45 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, they get to that other planet, like, I want to say, halfway through the film, right? And Chris Tucker's on the ship with them, and they're all the way through. When they were on the ship, when he was on the ship with Mila Jovovich, that was scene lasted for a minute. And then he fell asleep and woke up, she was gone. They never saw each other since then.
Yeah.
And,
And it.
so where I got to where I said fuck this movie is after the blue chick is die, I wish I could remember her name. I thought she actually had a nice little voice on her. It was actually I
Which
actually liked that opera a
can
lot. I
you
was tearing
can
up talking
you
her
that
name.
was
So
like they she did they did the whole opera scene. Was that needed?
no, because she started trying to mix that shit up with some electronic hip hop shit, whatever. You saw when she was dancing and shit, and they were trying to mix it with Mila Jovovich's fight scene too. And I was just like, oh
Yeah,
god.
that yeah, I didn't like that at all.
I did not neither. And you know what that reminded me of? I was like, damn, they do that same shit with her in Resident Evil.
Yeah, that techno movie, that techno music bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't need to hear this techno shit when she's fighting or whatever. It's almost like as if they're trying to distract you from her fighting.
It's kind of like Tron.
Yeah.
It's like perfectly Tron music.
And guess what? That shit fits for Tron because that shit's in Tron. Tron is one big techno orgy or whatever and shit. This element ain't got nothing to do with no techno shit. Especially when the chick that was singing, she was like, oh, like she was trying to do it like as in a hip hop tone. Where I was just like, okay, I was loving your voice, but you can stop with that now. You can just stop. But what after she gets shot, she tells Bruce Willis, "The fifth element needs you and your love." And I was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I would have been fine with him just saying that instead of the love stuff. Because
Yeah.
you could see that he, like, when she was singing and they kept showing him in the audience, that he was, like, falling in love with her. I'm like, what is going on here?
I can back that one up. When you go to opera and shit, yeah, obviously, I mean, shit, you fall in love with their voices. I mean, their voices are gorgeous. I mean, have you ever been to a symphony, an orchestra, or anything like that?
I have
I've been
not.
to a couple of those, man. I had the same look on his that he has on his face and shit. Those shits are beautiful, so I can understand that part. I'm talking about his love with Mila Jovovich. That was some bullshit. Fuck this movie for that shit.
That was so shoehorned and
That was some
forced.
fucking crowbar shit, and especially when at the end of the film, when she's just like, "Why do you need me?" "Because I love you." And then she just kissed him, and then I was just like, "You gotta be." I was like, "Man, fuck this. This is some bullshit." These motherfuckers had like 20 to 30 minutes of screen time. All of a sudden, "I love you. I need you," whatever and shit.
It
And Mia Jovovich is not that hot, okay?
No, and why does she always have to wear this type of outfit? She wore just what, toilet paper?
I was gonna say, she wore like the white long shirt, like she does in Red, with the black long shirt. So, yeah, I guess that's like her Expendables outfit, if you will.
But
No,
yeah, I'm with you.
I got pissed off though in that love when that alien told Bruce Willis whatever she needs you and she needs your love and he has this look in her face like, wow, I'm destined to be with her or whatever. And then next know when he finds her and shit and they're all again, I'm just like, okay, we can stop this shit, seriously. I mean, that to me, that part when that happened, and I don't know if that's why the action to me and those scenes were so fucking bland. And I was just waiting to hear just Chris Tucker scream in the background because I was just like, yeah, that'll distract me from that love shit because. I already knew how the ending was gonna wrap up once I heard that alien tell Bruce Willis and shit. I was just like, oh, okay.
And the stones were inside her.
That was some weird shit right there. I remember I was questioning. I was like, how the fuck did she get them stones in her now?
Yeah,
She swallow those?
but you said about the I one of the things that my probably biggest complaint of the movie is that Gary Oldman's such this big villain. He's not on the movie a lot.
I was gonna say too, what was his purpose though?
He never there was ne never explanation.
Like, cause at first, and then you see a scene too where he was talking to I guess the evil or whatever and stuff like that. What did they call him, Mr. Shadow or some shit? I forgot what they call the planet in here that's supposed to be the evil being here. That
I don't
I
remember.
don't remember what they called him or whatever. Cause he was talking to Gary Oldman. I was like, so. That thing has a mind to talk, whatever, where you can call on the phone. I don't think they explored that at all, or whatever, what this evil being was supposed to be, and like, why did he enlist the help of Gary Oldman? To be honest, I mean,
And who is Gary Oldman? You know what I mean? Who, I mean, is he just runs this company, you know?
we don't even know what the name of the fucking company. What was the company about, neither?
No,
Then why did
they're.
he hire Bounty? I mean, I understand the Bounty, but like, come on now, you. And they try to play this whole thing with like the whole oh, they're warriors, they have like code of ethics and shit like that. I'm just like, okay, I don't need to hear that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I just think he was fodder
Yeah, he was misused.
greatly.
Yeah, it was a lot of yeah. And you know the bad thing I said why I don't hate this film, why I don't love it is because there's a lot of good little things in here. And but you know the more we talk about the bad, man, I think the bad is what makes this movie from being so good or whatever, because you're bringing up a lot of points here. It's just like, my God, man, they really dropped the ball on a lot of this shit here.
Yeah,
And
it's.
for a two and an over 2 hour film too.
They could have cut out so much stuff, and it could have been an hour and a half.
But what was this movie about though, for being over 2 hours and yet you don't get no background on none of these people?
No, you really don't. I mean, Bruce Willis, I mean, yeah, he's the lead. You got somewhat of a background with
It
him,
only took
but.
5 minutes to get his background. I was like, oh, he was a former a war hero, if you will, or something like that. That said, done there, whatever. But everybody else, like you said, Gary Oldman and them, shit, I'd say even I think Chris Tucker character got more screen time as far as telling his background story than Bruce Willis did.
Yeah, you're right. So is Chris Tucker the star of the movie?
I'm about to say, were they riding off the success of Chris Tucker? I don't know. Or you know what? I wonder if they just let him ad lib too. I don't think Luc Besson wrote this shit for Chris Tucker.
He, I don't think, kind of like how you say with Zack Snyder's women,
Yeah.
maybe Luc Besson can't write for black people.
I don't think he can write for anybody.
Well,
That
yeah,
guy's
that
fucking
too.
horrible. That guy is fucking horrible. I don't think he knows how to write at all.
But I can kind of see Chris Tucker ad-libbing throughout the whole movie.
I'm pretty sure he fucking ad-lib. I don't think he could. What's his name? Luc Besson could write that for someone. Because, like I said, Luc Besson writes these boring, bland ass characters, or whatever. Or they're either boring or just generic. And Chris Tucker was just too out there for Luc Besson. I bet they let him ad-lib that shit.
Yeah, like you're so right. Tucker's character is like the most outlandish thing in the whole movie.
Yeah. Nobody else is like that in the whole fucking film. That was another thing that just threw me off. I was like, we live in this sci-fi world where it's aliens amongst us and shit. And you mean tell me Chris Tucker is the only one that's like this?
Did you get a present? Did you get an idea that Bruce Willis looked bored?
At first, he looked like he had like little smirks and stuff. It was fun, but as long as the story went on, yeah, it looked like he did get bored.
It's kind of like he's just waiting for that. It's kind of like he's waiting for that check to clear for the movie. Like, you know, it's just that he didn't put his heart into it. Like Chris Tucker, we know what he could do, and he looked like he had fun with the role. And then Bruce Willis, at the beginning, he looked like he took it seriously. And then he's like, I'm just waiting for this check to clear.
And I was gonna say, when it got to the other planet, that's when he really just said fuck it after that.
Well, it's kind of like a whole different movie.
Yeah, it really is.
They really, like the costumes were terrible for the aliens. Those were just suits.
Yeah.
You could have put a little more thought or detail into it. They just kind of look like moles.
I mean, the only thing I really liked as far as because the alien design was the blue chick.
Yeah, which was, she looked like a squid.
Yeah, it looked like a squid, but it looked like also something out of Aliens or Prometheus or some shit too, or whatever. I was just like, man, the design on that is, I thought that design was probably the most unique thing in the whole movie.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right.
Because like you said, the other, the warrior aliens, whatever they are, they were just some fucking cheap ass suits and stuff like that. And I want to say, other than that, you don't really see any other aliens besides that.
Yeah, you know,
the most sci-fi-ish thing in here was the damn flying cars.
I mean, when you got Jetson cartoons that tell more sci-fi and they actually, you know, do stuff more than this, you know.
Yeah.
That's, because this was 2236, that's, you know, 200 years away.
Yeah.
And we're not going to know what that's like.
No, I don't even think we're even close nowhere near without none of that shit either. And, you know, like, even with the opening, too, of the whole priest and stuff like that, I thought that priest shit was getting tired, so I'm not going to lie.
It's because they were slamming it over your face.
Yeah, they really were. I was just like, okay, I'm tired of hearing about this good versus evil. I was really thinking they was getting into some religious shit like that. I was just like, okay, I don't know.
Which it quickly dropped.
It quickly dropped. And then this whole thing with Gary Oldman's going to the priest asking for the stones and shit like that. I was just like, so he literally went there that blatantly to them to find these stones? Like, damn, okay.
And there's, I mean, they were just regular rocks, right?
Why did he give the stones to that alien chick? I wish I could remember her damn name in the fucking film. Let me see if I can find it.
I can't remember. I mean, was it Diva?
I know they said it a couple of times, too.
Okay, wait a second. I'm going to... Diva?
I think it was Diva. Yeah, it was Diva.
Diva Paluga? I don't know.
Just call it Diva. Fuck it.
Diva. Hey, Diva Singer, you know, whatever.
How the fuck did they give it to her?
It makes no sense. Oh my god, have you seen her? Like,
no.
Oh my god.
Well, she's beautiful.
Yes.
Let me okay, I gotta look this up. No, I gotta find it now.
Oh my god, she was married to Luc Besson too.
Diva, damn, what's her real name? Maywin? The fuck?
Yeah, she was married to Luc Besson too.
Oh wow. She looks kind of like a, she's got some Julia Roberts features to her.
What's fucked up is Luc Besson was married to her, and then he divorced her and married Mila Jovovich right after.
This guy is just staying in the fucking...
It's like he does movies just to find his next wife.
Yeah, she's just... Actually, you know what? The chick without the makeup, whatever, plays D, whatever, I can see the resemblance to her in the alien form.
Yeah.
It really, that must have been just straight up makeup she had on the face and stuff, yeah.
No, but that was pretty much the coolest design of the whole movie. Even the set designs, that was the coolest design and thought, and probably most creative thing in the entire movie.
You know what I thought was the second most creative? And the only reason, because I just tried to relate this to real world, how cool it would be.
What's that?
Is when Bruce Willis had ordered Chinese food to his apartment. How cool is that? You open up your window and the motherfucker just pulls up to the side. I was like, wow, that's awesome. You know how much time that would save P1. Fucking do shit.
You would never leave your house.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm always in a rush and shit. So, you know, that'd be awesome. So, and I was like, wow. Yeah, like as he said earlier, stretching P1, stretching. Because damn, if I thought that was one of the coolest things in this film, then what does that take?
And we're still 200 years away from that happening.
Wow. How awesome, man. We can't even get fucking Chinese food delivery at some places. My car, let alone how cool that would fucking be to have, like, it was like a boat type deal and pulled up and he fried it in front of you. I was like, damn, that's badass. Damn, I don't know to give this movie to if I'm giving that a pass. What's the coolest thing in the Fifth Element? People, oh man, they had this Chinese food thing pulled up to the side of your apartment, bro.
Or was it? Wait, when he was driving a taxi, he always got like those warnings.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know if I want to live in that world though, where they take points off your fucking license or whatever when you get into accidents and shit like that. I was like, wow. I like how McDonald's like the product place they ass in here.
Oh my god, it was kind of like Taco Bell with fucking Demolition Man.
I was gonna say though, it was kind of like just. In that one whole scene, though, I was like, damn, McDonald's must have paid ad revenue for this one action scene they got going on here, because I've seen it three times in this set.
Have you noticed that in all futuristic movies, that everyone's got a different idea what it's going to be?
Yeah.
No one's staying, like, no one's going to know, but still, like, people, like, in the 90s, when they did 2014, we thought we'd be flying cars by now.
Yeah.
So,
I was gonna say, a lot of people seem to think nowadays when they do futuristic movies, they think there's an apocalypse gonna happen.
Which is probably on the verge of happening.
Which I don't mind. I'm actually looking forward to that, to be honest.
Yeah, live podcast coming your way.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be like Chris Tucker reporting the podcast, reporting the apocalypse.
Oh, so you're gonna turn into Ruby?
Yeah, I'm gonna be Ruby. Everybody's gonna love me. Girls are gonna be well, they already wanna fuck me. everybody's gonna. I'm gonna have like a gay entourage, or whatever. Going, he won. He won. No, no. Where did he won? I even. You know. Okay. You know what the best part about that whole ending action scene was? Chris Tucker narrating through it. Well, even though I thought the narration of this film was fucking bland and boring as shit, dude. I'm not gonna lie. I was like. I could care less, but when Chris Tucker was narrating the whole action scene, I thought that shit was hilarious, because he's like, right now, I'm in the pool table, and then, I was like, damn, bro, give me something here, shit.
Do you think Chris Tucker just walked on set in this dress and just like, I'm here?
I don't even think he was supposed to be in this film.
They hit their quota with one black guy.
I was gonna say, I don't think he's supposed to be in this film. I think he was just walking on set, and he was just like, he saw those outfits, whatever, and like as a prank, he was with his buddy, and as a prank, Michael Jackson's with him, and he was like as a prank, he's like, check this out, Michael. He put that outfit on, whatever, and he just started acting, whatever, and he just ended up on camera somehow, and they just like keep rolling.
Cause seriously, just think about his role, and just take him out, and it's like. It's like nothing happens.
It's a completely different fucking film. You take him out.
Yeah.
I don't. You know what? That action scene at the end would have been a lot more quieter.
Without him screaming.
I think that Chris Tucker's scene in that action scene was supposed to like hype it up more. And without Chris Tucker, like the character of Chris Tucker there, I think it would have been like a little. Just it would have been a tad more. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't give a fuck about that action scene at the end, dude.
No.
Like, at first it looked like it was going to be cool. Bruce Willis comes out the door, he's just shooting everybody, whatever, and then he just jumps, and then next thing you know, it's just him hiding behind a bar and shooting at it and stuff, and it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, Z. What is your final thoughts on this?
I'm kind of, you know, just listening to you talk about it, it is kind of a bland sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
The movie does take a complete different approach. When they get to the ship.
I was going to ask you, which part do you prefer more? The part where they get to the ship or the part before that?
Before that.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been, if they just stayed at home and not, because that ship was supposed to be like that, what, like a Caribbean cruise type thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, all the fancy, richy people were there. And
I thought that's where they were going to explore more of this alien shit. I thought that's where it really was going to go out there, you know?
Yeah, but I really like the beginning more, so it really is like two movies in one. But the movie is so long that those dead periods hurts all the momentum for the movie.
Yeah.
With the just the dialogue, and then especially I hated the priest. I hated Ian Holm in this.
Yeah.
I thought, and him and his little buddy, I can't remember his name. You know who I'm talking about? David,
Yeah, I
I
know
think.
exactly what you're talking about. I do not remember who the fuck that was, though, either.
I think his name was David.
Yeah, I think it was David,
I
yeah.
could not stand him. I just
He's
think if they
supposed to be
were.
the comedic relief for the priest.
Yeah, that's
There were a
all.
lot of comedic elements in here that did not work. That did not work.
No, it didn't. That's why I don't know if this was a sci-fi comedy.
It's more of an adventure film, where, and I think here's the thing: why you add comedy to some things is because a lot of stuff might not be that interesting, and you add the comedy in there to make it go along, whatever. That's why I like Chris Tucker in that action scene, because the action scene in that end was boring as shit or whatever. So Chris Tucker was adding an element to something that was happening in there. But yeah, and the priest, his little sidekick David, was there to add some humor to the craziness of this religion. Alien being shit that was going on with the main priest. Because whenever you got the main serious guy, which was that priest, you gotta have some comedic elements with him. And I don't know, Luc Besson is not a good enough writer to have comedic elements in his films.
Even and the acting was wrong. The actors were wrong for those roles.
I'm not trying to say everybody was bad here, but their performances in here was just, they were run of the mill.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is Bruce Willis. That's the best I could say.
Yeah.
He looked like he had heart, then he just kind of just faded away on the side of the on the third act. But overall, it's. I don't want to say it's a, like really enjoyable,
Yeah.
but it's a nice watch every 5 years.
Would you watch this again in 5 years?
If probably, I mean I'm never gonna not watch it again. It's not like those
Yeah.
type of movies, but if I'm like something for that's kind of time killer movie. If it's like, have to watch this, I'm like maybe I will, but it has moments where it is entertaining. But I'm gonna probably just give this a high stream it.
Okay.
It's borderline low, very low rent it or high stream it, but I'm giving it a high stream it.
Man, the more I think about this, the more I think this movie was stupid as fuck. I'm in the camp where I don't think I'll ever watch this again. And that's not to say never, because I can go to a friend's house, maybe I'll have it on or something like that, and I'll just have no choice or whatever. As far as me personally putting it on, no, because I haven't seen this movie since, I want to say since it came out. And I've always thought about the film. It's always been in the back of my mind somewhere, or whatever. But I never, even with it being available to me, like on streaming and stuff or whatever, I've never once watched this movie again, because I just like, yeah. I think the story is such a kid sci-fi fairy tale that even at one point, I even had to think about this again. I had to laugh at it. The fucking evil in this film calls Gary Oldman on a phone. And by the way, that's not supposed to be funny neither, but that was a serious moment too. I was like, wow, that's kind of stupid as fuck right there. I thought it was just loud and long, to be honest. It's really just, it's a lot of overwhelming shit in here that they just expect you to take, where you just look at it and go. The first half of it, I found kind of bland, I'm not gonna lie. I was a little bored at some parts. I was thinking about that question I'd ask you, which do I prefer, the first or second one? I was bored in that first half, but in the second half, that's where I was pretty much just done with the movie in general, just because that love shit got introduced in here. So that second half, I was definitely done with. I was like, ugh, yeah, fuck this film, whatever. Yeah, Bruce Willis, like you said, is Bruce Willis. Gary Oldman, that was probably one of the most boring I've ever seen Gary Oldman, I'm not gonna lie. I've seen Gary Oldman in some pieces of shit where I was like, little Red Riding Hood, I saw him in that, and I was like, damn, even Gary Oldman, the best thing in this film, whatever. Gary Oldman's like, now that was somewhere where he was just out there. That guy was fucking crazy as shit in that film. Mila Jovovich, playing the fish out of water story in a way. I thought she did a fine job with that, but she didn't really stand out as far as nothing. I find that whole,
And she was supposed to stand out too.
yeah, exactly, because this was. She's supposed to be the special one in this film, if you ask me. And it really got ridiculous, more ridiculous, where, especially, man, at the end, dude, I fucking couldn't stay. Like, I don't know, this movie was tending to piss me off the more it kept going on, especially that part where she saw the war video or whatever in there. Then at the end, she's arguing with Bruce Willis. Why should I save you? Everything you people get, you just destroy, whatever. And I was just like, okay, can we just wrap this shit up now? And then, why do you, I was like, I need you. Why do you need me, though? Because I love you. Okay, I'll save the world. I'm just like, okay. That, as a matter of fact, even now, even thinking about that, that's even a more selfish reason for so. You're the sentient being that have the power to save the world. And you're not going to do it for the fate of humanity. You're going to do it because a man needs me.
Yep.
I'm like, well, yeah, that's a fuck you now. What the hell? I didn't even think about that. I was just like, damn. The more I talk about that, it's just like. And I've seen that in other movies. I can't think of them right now, but I've seen that in other movies where I just let it go like, man, that's some straight up bullshit. I fucking hate that line. It's like, you got to sit up here and say, you know, there's kids here or animals or other life beings I can save, whatever, but no, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, oh, the other protagonist's like, but I need you to do it, or whatever. And it's like, well, why do you need me? It's because, you know, I love you. And she's like, that's even more of a selfish reason to her doing it. It's like, oh, I'm needed here. So, yo, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it because I'm needed. And it's like, wow. So pretty much, fuck everybody else. I'm needed, so I'm just going to do it for that reason. Okay. Bitch, you don't even know what love means. You was just created an hour ago.
Yeah. And how she got created was just weird, too.
And, you know, I thought that was, yeah, I agree with you. That was weird shit. I thought that was creative as well, though. That was one of the most, and for a sci-fi film, that was one of the most creative things along with the film. How they just created a whole bone structure and then tissue and shit like that. I was like, wow, that's nice. I'm not gonna lie, though, when they were talking about, like, DNA and shit like that, that was taking me back to those Star Wars prequels when they were talking about that midichlorian shit.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember what he called it. He was like, most average human beings have like 800 or 8,000 or something like that, or whatever. This being has 400,000, whatever the fuck they call it. I'm just going to say midichlorians. I was just like, ugh. So I was like, no, we ain't. Damn, did Star Wars steal that shit from Luc Besson? Oh, God.
It's possible.
Damn, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time rating this fucking film now, because now the more we talk about it, the more I'm starting to hate this fucking film.
It's a hard film to rate, not gonna lie.
Because I walked in here in the middle of it, now thinking about it and reviewing it, because, you know what, fuck it, it's a fucking, I don't fuck this movie. Yeah, fuck this movie, I don't even know why I'm thinking about it, fuck this movie. It committed the two ultimate sins I hate a film, that love shit, and then, yeah, so fuck this film.
Why was this movie, like, always, like, in your back of your head?
Because people always brought it up.
Okay. And now you can give them...
those things where it was like... because people always say, oh, that either I hated that film or I love that film. So it was one of those things where it was like, I need to go back and revisit that film. Because I remember just, even when I was watching it, it was just being in the middle. It was like, it was whatever. I mean, it was nothing I really couldn't stand or whatever. And you know, a lot of people were like, CP1? Told you he was going to hate it. But it's like, no, you telling me to hate it for different reasons. I hate it for that love shit and that shit they didn't pull at the end. That's the reason why I hate it. So,
yeah.
I'm sick of that shit. I'm sorry. That cliche's got to stop.
Yeah. We've seen it in so many movies that it's nothing new, but this one really, it drove the plot, like, pretty much, like, it drove the plot off a cliff.
That was one of the another reasons, too, why I loved, I would say it's one of the best sci-fi movies I've seen in the past 10 years, which was Edge of Tomorrow. That shit they did with him and Emily Blunt, I thought that was just fucking perfect.
Yeah, and it was a Tom Cruise movie, and that's the weird part, that he always has that love stuff.
Yeah, yeah. His films, shit, that's every fucking film. They always throwing that shit in there. I'm starting to like that more with the later Marvel movies now, too. They're starting to deviate away from the love interest in there, because we're away from the origin movies now. Because, you know, last year, man, Guardians of the Galaxy and Edge of Tomorrow, they both didn't have that love shit going on in there. Matter of fact, Guardians of the Galaxy had that more love for his mother thing going on for him.
Yeah.
Edge of Tomorrow, you could see where, like, Tom Cruise, he started liking more of Emily Blunt, but that's just because he was with this girl. How many times he said he died in that scene? He's like 300 or something?
Yeah.
Man, you ain't got no choice but to fall for somebody at that point, man. When you see someone die that many damn times after you failed that many times, it's like, yeah, I mean, I can see Z die like once. I'd probably be like, oh, okay, well, I can repeat it, you know, over and over again. He'll be fine, whatever. But after seeing Z die 300 times, I'd be like, Yeah, see, I don't think we should do this anymore, man.
At least you care.
Sympathetic at some point after seeing that many times. I mean, come on.
At least you care.
Yeah, exactly. You got no choice but to care at that many times, right, Z?
You're right. But, like, if Mila Jovovich died, it's like, whatever.
Like, whatever. I mean, you ain't really did shit for this film or whatever. And I will say, though, this is one of those films where I give it a fuck it. It's one of those films, if you was to give it anything higher than that, I wouldn't fault you for it. I mean, I do still see some good things in it, but it's like.
But if someone gave it a high C, it would you not? Would you see it?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I can see. I don't know. High
I don't.
C is a little extreme.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, that's a little extreme.
Because it's really hard. I can see how people can like it, and I can see how people can hate it. But
yeah.
You really can't be in the middle.
Rent it at the highest. That'd be the highest I can see. High stream it, though, that's a little too far. But rent it, I'd be like, that's acceptable. I can see why there's the elements in there, like Z said. There's the elements in there that people like. Just for me personally, they have a lot of shit in there I just don't like in general.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Edge of Tomorrow, man. People, if you haven't seen that film, go check that one out. That is a fucking fantastic fucking film.
You will probably watch. It's one of my most. It's a movie you don't expect.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of action films, I've said this before, I'll say it again, man. How I was saying, Stallone is fucking killing the action franchise with her. I think someone in their 50s, such as Tom Cruise, is a guy that's actually bringing it up, man, because, he's knocking it out the park with his action films. You got Jack Reacher, Mission Impossible, the last one. I'll even say he did some good things in Oblivion and Edge of Tomorrow as well, man. This is a guy that's in his older age that is, I think, is hitting the ballpark with these action films now.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't actually. I want to say Mission. I never thought I'd say this, but this year's Mission Impossible is one of my most anticipated films of the year. So,
past Avengers.
Yeah. I said one of my most anticipated. Not a lot, so it's like in my top three, to be honest.
And Hunger Games.
That movie can go to hell. So, yeah, check out Edge of Tomorrow, people.
Or Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat, whatever it's called, Another Country's shit. Actually, I don't know if you've looked up the other countries' Steelbook versions of it or Blu-ray version of it. They got some badass covers for it.
I've seen a lot of fan covers. They're really badass.
Yeah. I mean, they have to give me one of those and hang it up in the office. Yes.
Yeah.
Because that really was a fucking fantastic sci-fi film, man.
Oh, that was like the next to Guardians. That was probably the best. Next to Guardians and Avengers, that was probably the best theater experience because you have so much fun watching a movie.
Oh fuck yeah, man! I would even say if it wasn't just because all the history that you have with Marvel attached on Guardians of the Galaxy, I would say, man, Edge of Tomorrow for me was probably better. But, you know, since I just knew all that shit about Marvel and seeing them incorporate it into a film, it just made it more of an experience for me. But Edge of Tomorrow, I would say, going in there without being a well-known property or a sequel or anything like that, and just going out of there in there with a fresh mindset, I thought that was one of the best experiences I've walked out of the theater.
Yep. I'm 100% with you.
Hey, you ready to get some questions, though?
Yeah.
Hey, Ariana, she says, would you guys prefer a Leprechaun film or a Child's Play film? Oh, God.
Well, I wish you can go that effect, but I'd probably
say, it's funny because this question could ask, because both of them has had new movies in recent memory, right?
Yeah.
Actually, 2 years ago, right? When did the Leprechaun Origins film came out?
The last year, and then, what
Child's
was it?
Play came out the year before then, right? 2013, end of 2013?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. And they both, according to Z, I didn't see the Child's Play one.
No, I didn't like it. I didn't see the new I didn't see Origins Leprechaun.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I heard it was shit. So.
But yeah, Child's Play was not good. I mean, they tried to make it really serious.
Once again, you can't make this motherfucker serious. Come on.
Damn it.
I would probably go with Child's Play.
I don't want to pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Child's Play because I can say at least the first Child's Play was somewhat. You know what? Never mind. I shouldn't say that because I haven't seen that movie in a while. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to fucking rewatch that on here someday. And I'm going to be like, wow, I regret answering that question now.
I'm probably gonna say Child's Play as well because Leprechaun, Child's Play, at least it's not hokey as a Leprechaun movie.
And we're saying that about the first film too, because it sure as fuck did get hokey in the later films of Child's Play. Once Child's Play 3 kicked in, that shit just got hokier and hokier. But Leprechaun kicked off its series being hokey.
Yeah, like it's not supposed to, it's like here we're not going to be taken seriously right from the start. It just got worse and worse, and at least Child's Play just got, it's kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street. It got wor you know got it was serious, and then it just got hokey and hokey.
Why do I have a feeling we're gonna regret saying this when we go watch that movie again?
I'm with you.
Yeah, you know that's the theme of Throwback Tuesday, right?
That's our motto.
Yeah. You loved it as a child? Well, you're gonna hate it now.
No, but I Child's Play, it fit well for that time period than Leprechaun. I Child's Play 2 was okay. That was like the, I think the most recent one. I like Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky were just god awful.
No, it was stupid too.
It is what it is. I mean, I don't take Chucky as seriously. I don't put him on the same level as Jason or Freddy.
Could you imagine if they ever teamed him up with Jason, Freddy, and all and whatever? Jason and Freddy would just look at him and go, like, what the fuck is this thing?
Freddy haunts Chucky's dreams.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm a good guy, dog. And they'd be like, I can see Freddy whispering in Jason's ear, we don't get rid of this little motherfucker right about now. Say, what
But
the fuck?
I can see the fanfare for a Chucky more. I don't think Leprechaun really has a fan, besides Leprechaun 1 that somehow has a cult following. I don't see it after the original.
Well, I guess the best way of testing that theory is by looking up the Blu-ray sales, because they both are straight to DVD. The
Yeah.
new Leprechaun and the new Child's Play film.
Yeah, you're right.
Whichever
Well,
one sold the most, I guess, was probably the one people was looking forward to, because I know a lot more people that saw that Child's Play film than through that Leprechaun film.
yeah, you're right. Well, I think
Which.
with the studio, WWE releasing Leprechaun, that, you know, that's all, that's a hit right there.
I was gonna say, and you would think though, because I know I asked you that question last week. It's like, okay, you watch wrestling. Why would you? If WWE say, "Hey, we're making a Leprechaun film," would you go see that shit for that? No, you watch wrestling for wrestling. You don't watch it to see their little indie horror, whatever the fuck horror films they're putting together. But at the same time, too, you would think because WWE has that built-in audience, because of what they sell out, like seats of 17,000 every week or something like that. So, or twice a week, is it? If they have two shows or something, so. I don't see why. I personally, I think those events, when you go watch wrestling live, whatever, that's just like going to any sports game or something like that. People don't even know what teams are playing sometimes. They're just going because it's an event.
Yeah, you're
I mean,
absolutely right.
I've been to WrestleMania before, and I it was WrestleMania 21 when they were in LA. So, and I think I at the time wasn't watching as much. So, but. I didn't even know what the card was, but I still went and I had a good time. It was an event. Got tickets to it and just went to it. So, I mean, hell, I would, what's the shit they have in LA, in the summer?
SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, I would go to that shit if I had the time.
Well, WrestleMania is in San Francisco this year.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
They probably sold out of them fucking tickets to
Yeah.
SummerSlam. I think they sell those to that. I mean, that's like the biggest thing for them the whole year. I'm pretty sure they sell those tickets like summer of last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So I personally, I think Child's Play, it's because I think the kills are more creative than Leprechaun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that. Bear with me when I say this. Child's Play does not have that fantasy as Leprechaun.
Okay, I can bear with you on that one, yeah.
Okay, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, because, the whole leprechaun, they're really basing that off that whole leprechaun mythology. Find the gold, find the, you capture a leprechaun, they were really playing with that shit in the movie.
Yeah.
I had forgot all about that in the movie. I didn't even know they played it that much to a T with that. And I rewatched it. When we rewatched it for the show, I was like, my God, they really did play off that whole leprechaun mythology shit, didn't they?
Yeah, so Child's
Child's
Play,
Play was more voodoo do shit.
Yeah, which at the time is different. You don't
Yeah,
see a lot of
so
voodoo
pretty much
movies.
we got that. Remember that black guy that in there who played Calypso? I'm sorry, I meant it's Calypso from Pirates of the Caribbean, but
But if preferably, I would not choose either or, but if I had to pick one, it's gonna be Child's Play.
yeah, I think Child's Play would make it to a theater before Leprechaun does.
Wouldn't make a lot of money.
No. Well, shit, it'll be cheap as fuck anyway, so I don't have to.
Yeah, you're
Yeah. Hey, next question comes from Lance Garrison. He says, "I always thought the Leprechaun was a pretty stupid premise. Do you guys think there's a possibility of doing something with this franchise?" Ugh.
No.
Have him do something. That'd be nice, because that motherfucker didn't do a damn thing in the whole film to, like, what, is he the last of it?
Yeah.
Get rid of that fucking Cloverleaf shit.
Yeah, 'cause it makes no sense.
That's stupid as fuck, okay? Like, well, he gave a perfect analogy or whatever. Get rid of that fucking Leprechaun mythology shit.
Yeah, 'cause it's always common knowledge you kept or Irish knowledge. You catch a leprechaun, he has to give you his gold, but.
Do some more with his powers and that fucking gold shit too. Do a lot more with that.
Unless you complete. That's why I think what Origins did, they kind of. Which I haven't seen it, so I can't really say, but from what the trailer, it looks like it's not as hokey and cartoony as the original. So they went more of a realistic standpoint from what I can see.
Well,
But
which is funny because all the Leprechaun movies has gotten bad reviews. I mean, whether you went fantasy or realistic, they've all gotten horrible reviews. Not one of them is fresh tomato or anything like that,
has
so.
besides the first child has Child's Play got a fresh?
You know what? I'm not sure, actually. I can look that up, though, while you finish your statement.
But if to do anything with the franchise, it means you would have to completely erase everything we've seen from all of them and start completely fresh. Kind of like, bad example, like a Spider-Man. But which it's not going to happen because Leprechaun's not a money maker.
Child's Play got 67%
That's
the
the.
first one.
And then it probably decreased big
The
time.
second one got 40%. The third one got 23%. Yeah, it's decreasing by 20 points every time, so.
But we saw, we already, you said last week, Leprechaun 2 got a zero.
Yeah.
And that's like incredibly hard to get a zero.
Was it Leprechaun 2 or Leprechaun 1?
I think it was Leprechaun 1 or 2.
Okay.
It was 2.
I'm looking that one up too right now.
'Cause you know how hard it is to get a zero?
Yeah, Leprechaun 1 had 25%, and number 2 had 0%, so yeah.
That's very hard to get a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's very fucking hard. I mean, because, like, even some people give MoviePass by saying, well, it wasn't great, but it's a nice popcorn experience, or they'll give you a fresh one for that one. I mean, Leprechaun 1 and 2, well, 2 itself at 0. I mean, nobody had nothing fucking nice to say
It's
about
like
that film.
the spoof movies, like disaster movie
Yeah.
and all that stuff. They don't even have 0%.
Yeah, exactly. That just goes to show you that nobody was asking for that Leprechaun 2.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
One thing I think you could do, one thing when we saw in the Leprechaun film that they tried to do it and they failed miserably, is they tried to make him more of a mystery at the beginning of the film, keeping him in the shadows and shit like that. I think you could really build something off of that. But the problem with that was with the reveal when it came to it, it's just like, oh wow, he looks so goddamn silly. It's like I'm not. That was another problem. I wasn't scared of him. Like, he didn't have anything about him that I was scared of. Had he had like a lot of cool ass powers, I think if you would add that to the film, maybe that could do something possibly with the franchise. Kind of keep him in the background for a while as a mystery, just like, kind of pumping him up to be something, and then when you reveal him, just make him this all-out badass killer. Like, there's no fucking stopping this guy because of all the power he's gotten. I don't want to see no shit once again where they stick a Cloverfield on a goddamn crate instead of just putting it on him. That was retarded as fuck, if you ask me. I don't get where that came from. I know where it came from. Just keep the story going for another hour and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know. Don't make his fucking design look so goddamn cartoonish, neither. I mean, I know they were trying to get the whole leprechaun thing of him, but god damn.
He really looked like the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Really fucking did. And if you gotta go the comedic route, I say you do something with St. Patrick's Day.
Which I am very surprised I have not done.
I am shocked by that too, whatever. Just imagine him coming back on St. Patrick's Day. Because that was the one funny thing I can say about that movie was when he ate them Lucky Charms, whatever the fuck it was. And he was like, this shit is nasty, dude. I can only imagine if he just saw, like, other little leprechauns on bars and shit like that, just looked around and was just like, the fuck is this shit?
Yeah, and when you kill someone with a pogo stick.
Okay, yeah.
You
I want to see him do, like, some Darth Vader death grips and shit like that. He's got powers, right? Well, I want to see him just, like, picking people up, like, by the string of his hand or whatever and shit, and just throwing abs across the world and shit.
Yeah, but I am very curious to see Origins, just to see what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to, like, go out and buy it,
yeah,
but...
it's something that has to be on TV for you.
I would have to see it, you know, have to be on Netflix or something. It has to be, like, something like that.
Yeah, I would agree, because I would watch both of them, the Child's Play and that one, but I'm not looking to go out of my way to fucking get these movies. Like you said, it has to be on fucking VOD or something like that for me, and I won't even buy it either. It has to be streaming or something. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's a couple of cool things you can do with it. I don't know if it'll translate well, but...
I think nowadays, I don't think it's going to work. This was way past its prime.
Let's just say this. You release a powerful-ass leprechaun movie now that can move shit and make things levitate, he'd be doing a lot more than what them goddamn Paranormal Activity movies do.
Yeah, but I think they tried to do Leprechaun as an 80s horror movie in the 90s.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
So it was...
following in that. What was that thing called? A pumpkin head or something like that?
Yes.
They were trying to do shit like that with him.
Which, it was, Leprechaun was way past its prime, way past its time.
Way past it. I think they were way ahead. Only reason why it continued was just because I think Child's Play was making money.
Yeah. And I think all the Leprechauns besides the first one were direct DVD.
I think the second one might have been released, I'm not sure.
But Child's Play, I remember, I think they all, well, The Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky, they had, I think, a mass amount of budget.
Yeah, those went to theater. I remember that shit.
Yeah, because it had, you know, John Ritter and Katherine Heigl and Bride of Chucky and then Jennifer Tilly and Seed of Chucky.
Was that the only one that would have fucked that female doll, too, in Bride of
Chucky? It looked exactly like her.
I'm just saying, her titties was out and everything. I'm just saying. That was just me, right?
No.
Okay, cool. I didn't want to seem like a pervert or something like that, you know?
Oh, you know. No.
Last question I got here is from Pac. He says, this is one of the most cheesiest horror movies, and he put horror in quotes.
It's true.
He put horror movies in quotes. He said, I've ever seen. What other cheesy horror movies do you guys have? We have, he's got Night of the Living Dead. It's pretty cheesy.
Shut up.
I don't know. I gotta go back and watch some of these horror movies. Like, we just talked about Child's Play. I remember I was remembering some lines last week, and I was like, oh, those are cool lines. I gotta go back and watch those films, man, because I might say that and rewatch it and go like, wow.
I think the big one I brought up was last week was Puppet Masters.
Puppet Masters, appreciate it, yeah.
They tried to really...
Twilight episodes were like a little horror element. Twilight Zone episodes were horror elements. And, going back on some of them, they're pretty cheesy. I think the concept of them were cool, but they were pretty cheesy as fuck. But not in the vein of Leprechaun. I'm trying to think of what touches Leprechaun cheesy. Oh, Rumpelstiltskin. The choice that was for last week. That definitely is up there.
God, think how that thing went.
Oh, fucking, we did one. Pinocchio. Revenge of Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Jack Frost.
Just look back at our October reviews.
Yep, I got a couple of them.
Demonic. Yeah. Remember Demonic Toys?
And you know what? I would watch either one of those over a Paranormal Activity movie ever.
That's cheesy.
I don't even think Paranormal Activity is cheesy. I think it's a fuck you if you ask me.
You know what I'm gonna say? And I really feel bad saying this, but The Ring.
The reason why too is because based off a Japanese book and shit like that. So yeah, you're about right. I would that ring's not ring is pretty cheesy in a way.
It's because it's a videotape that kills you, kind of like the one missed call where a phone call kills you or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just Americanized Japanese horror. That I can just put it that way.
I was gonna say the idea the idea of Jigsaw the puppet, that's pretty fucking cheesy if you ask me.
Oh, and Saw?
Yeah. And you better not defend that. God, that puppet is silly. Come on now.
Take away the puppet and the
Yeah, take away the fucking puppet and it's something, but you got that fucking puppet on a tricycle. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's cheesy. Every horror movie is going to have a cheesy moment. Freddy did it, Jason did it, Halloween did it.
I was gonna say though, I don't know about the first Jason and first Freddy though.
Well,
Those
Jason.
cheesy elements of those films, bro, they didn't kick in until those fucking sequels started kicking in.
I would say the original Nightmare was cheesy because he had so
Well,
many
Freddy
opportunities to
cheesy, so yeah.
he because he had so many opportunities to kill someone and he just played with them.
Yeah.
So
But
I
that
would.
was his characteristic though. I don't know if that would consider that by a fault though. That movie or that franchise and that character was built upon that. It was almost had I been alive longer than that, I would have said that character was probably a spoof of another character.
Yeah, I can see that. But.
That was one of the reasons why Freddy was always my favorite though. I love that shit about him. I love how he just fucked with his victims or whatever. Because he always that he's always knew he was gonna kill him at the end of the day. He was like, hey, I got this, man. I own you know?
But
I like that about him.
I'm also going to throw in this, which we reviewed, Day of the Dead.
Oh, I don't think that was cheap. I think that was stupid. I
Is it
think that
cheesy,
was.
just the polite term to say stupid and dumb?
No, because would you consider Paranormal Activity stupid? I mean, cheesy?
No, because that's
Fuck you, is what it is.
that's a compliment.
Yeah, calling Paranormal Activity, that's a compliment. Calling anything like those devil possession movies, calling it anything but a fuck you is a compliment.
Man, you hate those movies.
I fucking can't stand those goddamn movies, man. They're fucking annoying. Yeah, the only one I really love, I fucking love this to death, the original Exorcist.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Devil Inside.
See, I wouldn't even call that one cheesy either. That's another straight just fuck you. Because the reason why it's not cheesy is because nothing happens in those fucking films for it to be cheesy.
What's your definition of cheesy?
Leprechaun.
There you go.
Yeah, so Leprechaun, that's definitely cheesy itself. Paranormal Activity, or those found footage possession movies, nothing happens into them to even be considered cheesy. And it only thing that happens is when it the devil gets pissed off at the end of the film or whatever it is and shit, and the next know shit just starts floating in the house, and the next know it, they run to another room and they fall down to the ground and the camera falls and you just see if somebody walks by or some shit like that. I don't even consider that to be cheesy. I just consider that to be a fuck you.
Yeah.
God, I hate those fucking films, man. I can't believe people fucking give those movies passes, man. Those not even fucking movies.
No, it's just someone bored on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. It's fucking anybody can fucking film that shit. And for those movies, that's what pissed me off about those films or whatever. It's like you got a lot of indie people out there making films or doing at least even if they're not good, at least those films are doing something or whatever. But these fucking Paranormal Activity or any of these devil possession films or whatever, it's the same. It's nothing fucking happening. It's just a lot of people talking about like something's wrong with me. And either their hair is falling out, they're doing something with their eye, or their skin is getting bleached or something like that. And then next you know it, like maybe a fucking bowl will fall on the ground. Do you hear that? You hear that? Whatever. And then nothing fucking happens throughout the whole film. And then because they're found footage, the camera will just shut off, and then it'll be next day. And then next you know it, for some reason, the devil just gets pissed at the end of the fucking film, and you'll either see like some men in hooded black jackets or something like that at the end of the film, just in the shadows and shit watching, or you'll just see like more shit falling, or the demon that's possessing this person, his eyes are finally rolling the back of his head. and the person holding the camera is just gonna fall out and die or whatever, or supposedly die, or maybe he just gets away and drops that fucking camera for once. And then you just see the camera, and then somebody just fucking walks by, and it's the movie ends. And you're like, I don't know who the fuck that was that just walked by that camera.
Yeah, they're really confusing.
God damn, I hate those fucking films, man. I can't fucking stand those fucking films.
You know we're going to be reviewing probably one of those soon, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I am pretty fucking sure. I would even say the marked ones had some cheese in it.
The ending.
That shit was hilarious. I'm not going to lie. I rewatched that on Netflix with the Mrs. because, you know, she's Latin and, you know, there's a lot of Latin people in it. I was like, you going to love this film, man, whatever. That shit was hilarious as fuck. She was like, she said, when they opened up that trunk, she was like, I bet they pulled guns out of that trunk or something like that. I was like, did you watch this movie? That shit was hilarious when that voodoo bitch ran on that Mexican vato dude and he shot that bitch and she That ending was the best thing in that whole fucking film. I hate that film still, but at least, like Fifth Element with Chris Tucker, at least something different happened in the film.
Yeah, you're right.
But other than that movie was some bullshit too, whatever, because you ain't gonna go down no fucking basement where a dog is screaming like that for no fucking dog. That dog was squealing for you're like, oh, I'm coming down to the stage. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? I'd have closed that damn basement shut and been like, well, time to get a new dog.
you would see,
you would have went down there. Seriously.
No.
Hell no. Not nobody in their right brain. Like, if you'd have heard a dog normal barking, you'd have been like, oh, okay, I'm gonna go down there. But the way that dog was screaming, oh, hell no.
No, didn't that dog, if I remember correctly, didn't that dog, like, come back up later?
No.
Oh, it got killed, right?
Yeah, well, we don't know what happened, because he just went down and the damn porch closed, so.
Yeah, hey, but props to you to watching that movie again. Props to you.
I only watched the ending part, so.
Oh, okay.
I have work to do, so I made her.
Is it kind of like, here, stop bothering me, watch this movie?
Yeah, exactly, watch this movie. Here, check this out, you'll like this one. I was doing some work in my office, so I just like listen to it in the background, whatever. And every now and then, I would comment on it.
Okay.
But I'll admit that one at least had some elements of different, like how they gave him superpowers and shit for a moment. They didn't really do nothing with it, but you know.
Yeah.
Still a fuck you, but you know.
Yeah, it's gonna keep stay that way.
Yeah, because that plot I just described in found footage films, that one ended the same way. Camera fell, and somebody just walked by the fucking camera. Yeah, fuck those movies, man. you know what, Z? That is the end of our show today. I know you're sad. Don't cry.
Tear.
I know. He's always crying. Oh, he's the emotional one on the site. I gotta sometimes hug him. Cause, you know.
No, I think Cody is.
Virtual hug, don't worry. Well, Cody almost died last week, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he almost had a champagne bottle knock him out, so yeah. well, people, that's been another edition of Throwback Tuesday. Hey, if you're on Facebook, why don't you go ahead and add me as a friend on there? I think you can. I think I don't have enough friends that you can add me, because I don't know. Somebody was telling me they couldn't add me or something like that, but whatever.
Yep, there's all I can.
Yeah, add me on Facebook. I'm on there. Just type in Movie Spoilers, because I'm the only one that spoils like this. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Movie Spoiler Pod. I'm on there doing the tweets. I be tweeting every day about anything and everything. Sometimes it could be about the latest drink I've drunk. Or it could be about a show. Or it could be, my most famously, when I have the late night screeners and I gotta go see movies and they don't take my phone, I'd be just tweeting my ass off about some of the niggerish shit that goes on in theaters. But other than that, yeah. Or you can follow me on Google+, add me on there. I don't know how you locate someone, because I don't pay attention to the URL, because I saw like Movie Spoilers_TPO or something like that. But just type in Movie Spoilers and I'm sure I should come up. Z, where can the lovely people find you at?
They can find me on Twitter on SBulldog99 or at Films Shuttered. Facebook. I don't want to give out my real name.
Oh, okay. Well, then Z, there you go.
Yeah, find me on. You'll see me tagged in Movie Spoilers post.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, and I don't really pay attention to Google+ that often, so.
Yeah.
Because I don't know really what it is. It's just kind of like a Facebook, Google Facebook. That's all it is.
Yeah, you should pay it too. You should do it.
I should. I probably will.
Yeah, I think I've only paid attention is because I've gotten used to it in the past 2 years, I think, of knowing of it. So
I probably will. Is it better than Facebook?
I think Facebook is more easier and integrated. And plus, because Facebook, not a lot of people know they even have a Google Plus account.
No, they don't. You sign up for Gmail, you have a Google Plus account.
Yeah. Or even if you got a YouTube account, you have one. A lot of people, it's one of those new things, whatever. It's just like, the only reason why it's still around is because just the Gmail and YouTube and all that shit, because, you know, Google's integrated. But it's got nice features on there. I know if you leave, like, reviews for places, like restaurants, something like that, I think they give you, like, discounts for some places or something like that. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
They're constantly always asking me to leave a review for this place I've been to or something like that, you know, get something for it, but... I got so many places to leave fucking reviews for, you know, but.
Yep, yep. And thank you for everyone that voted on the podcast awards. Today's the last day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It ends today. Well, by the time this goes up, you'll still have a couple hours to vote, people. So, yeah, visit www.podcastawards.com. Scroll down the movie and film category and vote for Movie Spoils Podcast so we can win this damn thing. I like our chances this year, Z.
I am too.
I like the chances this year a little bit more. I'm not saying we're going to win it, but I would love to know who comes in second, third, and fourth place.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'd be in that top three.
I'm so curious because we did. I think we're doing heavy promotion this year compared to last year.
Yeah, it's a lot better promotion going on this year. And plus, I've reached out to a lot more audience, a lot wider audience as well. So, yeah, man, I like our chances a lot better this year.
Yeah, so hope you know maybe you can find out since you do know who runs it, if you can find out what place you finish, not publicly, but just for your state of mind.
Yeah, that would be cool. I don't know if he runs it anymore because New Media Expo bought it, so I think he just works in the background for it now. So.
Well, you can probably find out. So.
Yeah, I could probably just I'll send him like a message on Twitter or something like that, and I find out because that would be cool. No, because I'd even like to know from the year before too, just because. I'd like to know if it's just going up more. So, you know, if we don't win this year, then if it went up by a high number than last year, then hell yeah, I'd love to know if for next year we'd have a better chance then. So.
Yep.
So, people, that has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 92.
92.
I am your schooling host, the phenomenal one.
I am your white man, Z.
Oh, yeah, and we'll be back for episode 93 next week. Later, bastards.
See ya.
Colpi di sua voce.